I'll have Gary come up, and he'll bring the message today. What a welcome to bring the word. And
get that thing out of here and get it out of here right now. Well, that's what Asha's father said. She lived in Kurla, India, and the Gideons had given out some Bibles at her school, and her father was a real devout Hindu, and they worshiped many, many gods. And he would not have that heresy in his house. Well, thank God she disobeyed. She secretly hid it in her room and read it every day. And that's when she was about 14 years old. Well, she got through high school and she got accepted into dental school, which is a huge, huge deal in India, especially for a girl. But her and four of her good buddies were down at the river celebrating being accepted. A flash flood came, which is happens quite frequently in India, and it took all the girls away. Her father was very distraught, and he made sacrifices to the Hindu gods and made promises. Maybe some of us have tried to do that with God, bargain with him, right? We have nothing to offer, actually, right? But he was trying to cut a deal with some of his Hindu gods. If you would just bring my daughter back alive, that I will serve, you know, all these thousands of gods for the rest of the time. Well, they found her a short time later. She was dead. All the girls got killed in that flash flood. But when they were going through her things in her room, Asha's father found that little Gideon New Testament. And he was curious, so he started reading it. And he looked in the back, and he saw where she had signed that and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Well, he got pretty curious about that, so he started reading that little Bible himself. He got saved, and the whole house got saved. But he was so on fire for the Lord that he has actually made up a little brochure, and there's thousands of people in India have gotten saved because of his testimony. So it was a horrible thing that she passed away, but we know she's in heaven, and because of her, many, many people are going to be joining her and her father and family in heaven. Okay, so who are the Gideons? Most of you know who the Gideons are. There's about 270,000 Gideons in the whole world, which sounds like a lot. It's not really. It's Gideon men and women, and we give out Bibles at hotels, motels, jails, nursing homes, colleges, schools. We've given out the alt school over here. And the showstopper here, the Gideons just gave out 474 Bibles a few weeks ago at the alt days. So that was a huge praise the Lord. And Paul was telling me last night, one guy was asking where he could find a good church. And he said, right down the street. So I don't know if he's here today or not. But this is a good church, and we appreciate it. Appreciate Pastor Mark and Mike so much. So the Gideons, since 1908, have given out over 2.6 billion Bibles. Some of them are these big hotel Bibles like this. These are about $5 a piece. A lot of them have been these little pocket testaments, and they're about $1.40. They'll range anywhere from $1 to $1.40, $1.50, depending on where they're going in the world. Excuse me. We are, the Gideons, are a missionary extension of this church. So you can say you can support, we support missions in over 200 countries because we're in 200 countries. The Gideon Bibles are in 99 languages, and there's a Gideon Bible app. I should have brought one up with me. I put some on the back table here. Before you leave today, grab a Bible app. Download it in your phone. I didn't bring my phone in either. But we were at a, quite coincidentally, a Jesus Film Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, about 3 years ago, and I had my phone. And most of the people in the hotel spoke Arabic. So I'm assuming it's owned by Arabs, right? Maybe not. But I asked the ladies cleaning the room, I said, you know, what language do you speak? She told me Arabic. So I took my phone, and I pulled up the Gideon app, and I pointed in that I wanted Arabic, and I started playing John. So while she was cleaning the room, she was hearing John preaching to her. And when she left, she said, thank you very much for doing that, you know, in her own way. But that's pretty cool. I mean, you can take your phone, you can poke in Chinese, Farsi, whatever you want, and play it to the people, even though you can't speak it. Excuse me. The Gideon's purpose, we only have one purpose, actually, and that's to see men and women, boys and girls, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our only program. We don't have any other agenda. Something that's pretty neat about the Gideons is 100 pennies of every dollar goes to pay for Bibles, either Bibles or shipping. I don't know, and maybe there is some out there, but I don't know of any other organization that can say that. And so when I joined, my first thought is they've got a home office in Nashville, Tennessee, and it costs money for lights and rent and taxes and everything else. How do they, and there's few people that are on salary. I'm not. I've never gotten salary. But they pay me what I'm worth, right? But anyhow, you figure, how can they keep all that functioning down there in Nashville? So if you're a Gideon man or a auxiliary is what we call the women Gideons, you pay dues every year. And that whole thing down there in Nashville, the salaries and the lights and everything is paid by our dues. So that every penny you give goes to buy Bibles. That's pretty neat. We go where other people can't go. We have people hauling men to jungles and on bicycles and donkeys and horses, on foot, motorcycles. I could never go to some of those places, but we have people in those countries that do distribute it. One of the big things that Gideon needs to do is personal witnessing. And I'll be talking more about that later on in the message. But we want to see people come to the Lord. And they have to be members in good standing of a local church. 2 years ago, we were giving out Bibles in a nursing home. And there was a lady in a wheelchair, and she was very distraught. You could tell she was just wired in the wrong way. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I am just so, so afraid of dying. And I said, well, I can get that. And it looked like she was pretty close to dying. So I asked her if she'd ever invited Jesus Christ into her heart. She said, no. So I knelt down right there by her wheelchair and prayed and helped her invite Jesus into her heart. And she said, thank you very much. She had a real peace after that. Anybody can do that. There's a girl named Shirley in Brazil. She was in a Catholic school. She's about 14 years old also. The Gideons gave her a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. And she read it every night. She started going to evangelical churches. And she eventually got saved, and most of her relatives got saved. So that's pretty cool. She said, thank you, Gideons, for what you do. An interesting side note is in Brazil, each one of these little testaments is read an average of 6 times. And don't ask me how I know they figured that out. But that's a great return. So if you give $1.40, it pays for one of these little Bibles, and there's 4 or 5 or 6 people get saved, in my economic world, that's a great return on investment, right? There's a roofer. This is one of my favorite testimonies that was having a hard time in life. And he just said, you know, God, if you don't show me that you're real, I'm going to kill myself when I get off work today. Very ambitious guy. See, I would have said, I'm going to do it before I go to work, right? But that wasn't funny, sorry. Why work a whole day, right? So anyhow, he said, God, if you don't prove to me that you're real, I'm going to kill myself at the end of the day. So he's up on this roof, and the Gideons were giving out Bibles at a college. So he's pushing his wheelbarrow along, and all of a sudden, bam, a Bible falls down in front of his wheelbarrow on the roof, right? So he goes over and picks it up. Well, that's an answer to prayer. So what had happened was the Gideons were giving out Bibles on the sidewalk, and there was one college kid said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what you can do with this," and hooked it up on the roof. Do we serve an amazing God or what? That is an answer to prayer. The guy didn't kill himself, so and he got saved, so that's pretty cool. Always a plus, right? One way you can help the Gideons is use the Gideon cards. There's some on the table over there. There's three different cards. You can send those. That money goes to buy Bibles. I'd like to thank you so much, Pastor Mark and Pastor Mike. Mark's not here, for allowing us to give the message today. And if you want to, you can support the Gideons financially. You can see Paul or me or put some money on the table. Don't feel obligated in any way, shape, or form, but if God lays it on your heart, support the Gideons, you can do that. That's part A. Okay, for part B, so you get two messages for the price of one today. It's bargain basement. Okay, so the message today is on witnessing. And it says to confess your things to one another. So I'm level with you. I'm a bounty hunter. And I'm a greedy bounty hunter. So I'm a bounty hunter for Jesus. I want more souls. And ever since I've joined the Gideons, I want more and more souls. I'm just greedy for God. And I think that's a good thing. Amen. So, does everyone know what the Great Commission is? Okay. It says go into all the world, right? We're all told that. And it's not called the Great Suggestion, right? We're suggesting you do this. No, God's telling you to do this. So we're all commanded to go and preach the gospel. Something that used to blow my mind is I thought, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I did this last week or did that. And this is really, really good news. You don't have to be perfect. Actually, there's only one person that was perfect and they crucified him, right? So get over yourself and just do what God tells you to do. Jesus said go in the New Testament over 100 times. So I think it's pretty imperative, right? Mostly, very, very few Christians share their faith. There's only about 5 to 10% of the Christians have ever shared their faith. And that's kind of a sad commentary on us, right? It's kind of a little spanking. It's like, get out there and do it. The other thing is, who would you not want to go to hell? You know, maybe you are the only Jesus. Maybe you're the only Bible that somebody's going to see. So you need to take care of it. Don't put it off. And I used to do this all the time. I get it. Well, and God would speak to me and say, you know, Gary, go talk to them, you know, pray with them, take some cookies over to them, whatever, you know. And I say, well, somebody else will do it. God's not telling somebody else to do it. He's telling you, right? So just get up and do it. But and I used to do it all the time. Somebody else will take care of it. I'm the somebody else. I need to take care of it. I need to do it, and I need to do it today. If you had a cure for cancer or a cure for death, you would be telling everybody about it, right? You call, oh, you won't believe this. You would be so pumped and so excited. You would be telling everybody you know. We've got something that's actually better than that. We've got Jesus. It's eternal life. It's a free gift. There's a lady at the country club we used to go to. We were going out to visit with pastors, and I almost never, ever ask anybody more than once, you know, if they'd like to accept Christ. But we were there early in the morning having breakfast, and I was familiar with her, but she always had the, you know, the frown. I have to pull my lips down because I can't frown. She always had the frown on her face. You could tell she had a lot of problems going on in life. So I asked her if she'd like to accept Christ or Savior. No, no, I ain't going to do that. So she went away, and we kept talking, planning our day. Came back, and I asked her again. Nah, I don't think so. And normally I would just say, I'm done with this. You know, I'm not going to badger people. I'm not going to hound them. Just, it is what it is. And this had to be totally a Holy Spirit. She came back a third time, and I said, would you like to accept Christ? Not today. So I never do this. She came back the fourth time, and like I said, that is totally God. I said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? She said, yes, I do. And I see her all the time. This is years and years and years ago. She still works there. And she's, hey, how are you doing? You know, and she has problems just like us. She has bills that have to get paid. She has flat tires. I don't know if she runs out of gas or what. But she's a human being just like us, right? She still has problems. She has family problems. But she's got Jesus in her heart. I just saw her the other day. And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, it's the light inside. That's a good thing, right? So basically what you need to do this is you need a heart full of love and compassion for other people. Like I said, if you could see somebody, if you had a teeny, teeny, tiny glimpse of somebody suffering in hell, you would get out there and do it. None of us have an idea what that looks like, but I had a little preview in the Bible there. I've never visited there, but I read about the place, right? It doesn't sound like any fun. I don't want anybody to go there. I don't care if you're my worst enemy. I don't care if you hate my guts. I don't want you to go to hell, right? That's how you can tell if you love people, when you start praying for your enemies and people despitefully use you. So we're called to witness. And even to those that aren't very lovely, love those who aren't lovely. There was a man, and here's the other thing about putting it off, procrastination. You know, I was going to be appointed president of the Procrastinators Club, but I decided to wait till next week to have the meeting. So it's not funny. Don't stop your laughing. It's not funny. But don't put off till tomorrow what God's telling you to do today. There was a guy at the country club, good, young, healthy, young guy, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. There's no reason he shouldn't be here next month, right? 2 weeks later, he gets killed in a car accident. But the good news is we're going to see him again in heaven. So God speaks to you, just do it. And the other thing is it gets a lot easier. The more you do it, the easier it gets, right? And it just becomes second nature. You can't follow Jesus and stay where you're at. Go is a command. You know, you can't go sitting, right? Unless you're in a car. So it's easier and less risky to stay, but our duty is to go. Following Jesus is seen in our actions. The key is prayer. And I get it. You know, I had never witnessed to somebody at one time, but Bible talks about fear and trembling. I had both. But pray on this. There is one guy, and I'm not going to say his name because it's going out on the internet, but there was a guy that I knew that had a child that was kind of mixed up sexually, and they had some stuff removed and put on, and this dad hated God. And there's somebody that you don't ever want to witness to. Maybe it's an ex-spouse. Maybe it's a bad mother-in-law or father-in-law. It's somebody that you don't ever want to tell about Jesus. You almost kind of say, it's okay if they go to hell. Let them burn, right? But we all have our one somebody. And usually it's the people that are closest to us, right? You can talk to a total stranger, but somebody that's close to you, somebody that's in your family, somebody you've known your whole life, it's like, ah! You know, what if they reject me? I got to live with this. So anyhow, there was this guy that was a devout atheist, and I'd prayed about him for years. That was probably wrong, praying about it that long, but I prayed about it for years. And I've got a little kid that helps me out at the farm, and it was so heavy on my heart that I'd taken a couple of these Gideon Bibles and wrapped them up in cellophane and put him in the glove box in the four-wheeler. And he was out one day, and I saw him, and I told my little buddy, I said, get the four-wheeler and bring it up here, and he did. And I just felt like today's the day. I didn't know if he was going to die the next week or what, but I really was prompted by the Holy Spirit, do it now. Excuse me. So I took that little Bible and took the plastic off of it. And I knew he was an atheist, and I was just afraid he's going to, you know, go all fisticuffs on me or something. But I'd prayed about it for so long, I let God take care of that. So I told him that in the front of the Bible, this little Bible here, there's a thing that tells you what to read if you're sad, lonely, depressed. And sometimes they'll make a joke out of it if I'm giving it to a waitress or something. I say, I know you never get sad or lonely, depressed, but you probably have a close friend, right, that does? And they all laugh. Yeah, it's me. But I witnessed to him. I said, the next time you see your child, whatever it is, girl, boy, I said, I want you to give him this. And I said, Christ loves everybody. There's nothing that's unforgivable. I don't care what you've done in life, ever, ever, ever. You can think of the most horrible, wicked, vicious thing. I think Jeffrey Dahmer got saved. There's a list of people that are just, you'd think would be totally unredeemable that you'll see in heaven. But I told him, I said, you need to give this to your son and tell him that Jesus loves him and that he wants him to be Lord of his life. And I said, you need to do that too in the back here. Read these two pages. It's the plan of salvation, why you're accepting Christ, why we're all sinners, why we need a Savior. But I said, I want you to do that. And I said, the only reason I'm doing that is because I care about you and I care about your eternal salvation. And instead of going to Fifth City, the guy gives me a hug, right? He's almost tearing. So that's what prayer does. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. Whether he did that or not, I don't know. But his blood's off my hands, right? I did my part. So just pray about the hard ones. And then we have some scriptures. And the first one is Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Acts 1:8. So from Samaria, what would be the remotest part of the earth? I would say all Colorado, right? And the next one is Isaiah. And this is a Gideon key verse. This is our flagship verse for the Gideons. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We have heard so many testimonies where these will be taken. We'll give them out of school or a college or military, and they'll take and they'll put them on a shelf somewhere. 5, 10, 15 years later, they'll be cleaning, and they'll be in a hard place and a hard time, and they'll start reading and they'll accept Christ. You know, there's no time stamp on this. It's good forever and ever. We were in Mexico one time at a resort, very nice resort, and I put one up above the dresser, and I don't know who's going to read that. Somebody sometime somewhere is going to bump that dresser and it's going to fall down, maybe like the roofer, right? And then the next one is Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. You know, if you're prayed up, you don't have to worry about it. See, I'm not even a good person to be standing up here. I'm not a preacher or teacher. I'm nothing. I always ask God, you do the deal. When we go into jail, I'm nothing at all. I always take a lady into women's jail with me, and I say, I'm going to bring the chunk of meat in here, this stuff here, but God, I want you to do the deal. I want you to talk through me. And we'll come out, and several ladies will get saved, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, sometimes 15 will get saved or rededicate their life. And whoever, I have like three or four ladies that go in with me, but we'll walk out of the door and it'll slam and we'll just stand there and look at each other and say, wow, that was so cool. And it's not us being cool. God showed up and did the deal. We're overwhelmed at what happened. And it has nothing to do with us outside of bringing the chunk of meat. So pretty cool stuff. So the other thing is, you're not in charge of results. If they reject you or say no or I need to think about that, that's cool. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message. Or maybe they're just putting it on the shelf right now. That's okay. You're not in charge of results. God is. You planted the seed. And I know there's people in here where you get a song in your head and keeps going, stop it, stop it, stop it, you know. And it keeps going on and on until you put another song in your head, right? Well, your words could be like that about witnessing in Christ. You know, you just need to ask Christ to be your Savior. Stop it, right? You never know how powerful your words are. But I do need to tell everybody in here that you need to qualify people first. Don't just witness to anybody, okay? So if you go into a building and there's like this long box and somebody's laying in the box and they're all cold and they got their hands like this, don't witness to them. It's not going to do any good. They're dead. Little sick humor there. They have to be living. Once you die, your fate's decided. You know, the second you die. Thank you for the laugh. Courtesy laugh, and I appreciate that. Yeah, once they stop breathing, their fate's decided. You know, you can't pray anybody into or out of hell once they're dead, once that last breath is taken. The Bible says today is accepted day of salvation, right? Have a goal to tell at least one person every week about the Lord and how much he loves them. And there's two ways to come on that. You can tell them about hell and how sucky hell is. But I'd rather tell them about how wonderful Jesus is and how much Jesus loves them and died to pay for all their sins. And like I said earlier, it does get easier and easier. The more you do it, the easier it gets. It just almost becomes second nature. Most people, and this kind of blows me away too, and I don't know how they figured this out, but most people need to hear about 7.6 times before they accept the Lord. A little case in point was the waitress several years ago, right? Okay, and then where should we witness? Says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And that's Matthew 28:19-20. And then the next one is Mark. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16:15. And Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed. The other thing is, don't argue with people. You know, somebody says, well, I don't believe there's a God. Or, that's all a fairy tale. So just say, You know, don't try and get down their throat. Just say, So, the other thing you can say is, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Here's good questions if you want to write these down. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus? Was he a good man? Was he a prophet? Was he a lunatic? He is either the Savior of the world or he's a lunatic, right? He's either your Lord and Savior or he's the most crazy guy you've ever heard about. Do you think there's a heaven and a hell? If you died, where would you go? And if you died today, why would you go to one place or the other? And if you're believing, if what you're believing isn't true, would you want to know? And I actually had somebody say one time, no. Okay, that's kind of stupid, right? But that's their program. The thing that's neat is it's like an exciting journey. It's like an amusement park ride. You never know what God's going to do. Excuse me. I had a couple guys from Wyoming that bought hay from me. And I give out lots and lots of Bibles. I'm a farmer. I hate going to town. I don't like to leave the farm. I still give out several hundred of these every year. So there's a couple guys from Wyoming buying hay. And I said, can I give you a free gift? And you just tell them it's a free gift. And he said, yeah, what is it? And I said, it's a Bible. So I go out, and I said, this is really cool. It tells you what to read if you're sad, lonely, depressed. In the back, it tells you how to accept Christ as your Savior. And I said, before you go to bed tonight, do that. Read these two pages. Invite Jesus into your heart. And so the guy's just standing there and said, why can't we do it right now? I said, we can. And they both got saved right there. And then they came back a few weeks later. This is wild. And they said, we want you to baptize us. Okay, this is in the wintertime. It's out in my hay barn. But I do have water in there, and I baptized them right there in the hay barn. So, you know, that was first for me. Another cool story was we had given a witness at jail a lesson. And two or three of the girls said, we want to get baptized. And he said, yeah, just you go ahead and do that when you get out. And they said, no, we want to get baptized today. Well, there's not a lot of horse troughs or running streams in jail, right? So I told a guy, I says, hey, what do you want me to do here? And I dry up pretty fast, so I just keep water with me. I'll take a sip now. So God said, what do you have in your hand? I said, water. He said, do it. So we took and just sprinkled three of the girls. And then like five or six more said, we want to get baptized too. So we baptized a bunch of ladies that day just with what we had, you know. So that was pretty cool. That's God speaking. And like I said, if you're walking with God, it's an exciting experience. He's always got a new program every day, right? You can't figure God out. He's a little bit smarter than us, like a whole bunch. The other thing is, you know, I feel outgunned most of the time, and I really am. Like I said, I'm nothing from nobody and nowhere. But right after I joined the Gideons, Paul called me. It's a winter day. And he said, you want to take a ride into Greeley? I said, sure. I said, what's up? He said, with this old guy, and I think I remember this correctly, he said he was married to a Christian lady, and she got cancer real bad, so he tried to cut the deal with God, you know, the deal we can't do. And so he told God, if you heal my wife, sorry, if you heal my wife, I'll become a Christian. Well, she died, and he got very bitter against God. So he got married again. And the second wife is a Christian, and she talked to him all the time about Christ. And ain't gonna do that. All of his kids were saved. Ain't doing that. So we're driving in on a wintry day. It's snowing. It's miserable out. And Paul's telling me all this. I'm like, oh, I have nothing. I have nothing to give this guy. But I pray I've got God, right? So I said, God, when I get there, just tell me what to say. I have no clue. I have no idea what to say. We talked about 30 or 45 minutes, and at the end I said, Wilmer, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, I would. It's like, really? You do? Okay. All right. I was shocked. But that's God. It's not up to us. We're not in charge of the result. It's God's doing it. It's not us. It's not because we're so cool and lovable. That was just way neat. And there's some more scriptures. Why do it? And it says, my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exalt his salvation. It's Psalms 35:9. And it says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. That's Psalms 37:39. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalms 18:2. So the other thing that people do is say, well, maybe they'll hear it on TV. Maybe somebody else will do it, right, what we were talking about before. Here's a mind-blowing statistic. 75 to 90% of people get saved through a friend or acquaintance. Only about 17% get saved through Billy Graham Crusade or Tent Crusade or something like that. So it really is up to you or me, right? Most people, and I won't say all because all is a pretty big word, but most people are very, very grateful that you cared enough about them to share the plan of salvation. We were down in Phoenix one time and at a flea market. And there was a Muslim guy there, and we bought a couple of throw rugs for the motorhome. And I tried to give him a Bible, and he says, no, I don't want to do that. And he says, why would a good God sacrifice his own son, you know, let him be murdered like that? And I said, for your salvation, because he loved you that much. And we talked quite a while, and there's some other people that are coming up and trying to give him money. He said, like this, and he just kept talking to me. He didn't accept Christ that day, but those words are in his head. You know, I did my part. Just do whatever God tells you to do. Excuse me. So we were out for my birthday a few weeks ago at a restaurant, and this young girl, probably mid-20s, mid to late 20s, I said, can I give you a Bible? She said, sure. So she was telling me that her son goes to Resurrection Fellowship Christian School. So you think, well, she's probably a rock-solid Christian. And I asked her, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? And she said, not so much. Why? And I said, well, that's the only way you get into heaven is by accepting me as Savior. And she said, have other girls here done this? And the one girl I was talking about that was like this, I said, yeah, that lady over there has a long, long time ago. And I said, there's a bunch of them here that have. So she said, well, tell me more about it. So I told her Christ died for her sins, for my sins. And she sat down right there. We held hands, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. That's pretty humbling, right? So just don't assume anybody's saved. That's a bad assumption. The day after the rapture happens, there's going to be a lot of people in churches. It's like, wow, what did I miss there, right? There's free Bibles over there, just English and Spanish. So take one if you'd like to. You know, don't just take it home and throw it on the refrigerator, on the carpet, or whatever. If you take it, try to give it somebody. And the first time is horribly hard. It's like, hi, my name's Jim, and I'm going to talk about Jesus, you know. But it gets easier. So, and if you give out one and you need more, let me know. I buy them by the case, you know. But there's some Gideon Bible apps over there. Those are free. Everything over there is free. And nothing over there is paid by the Gideons. It was paid for Gideon guys, not the Gideon organization. So that was paid for by somebody else, not any money that you give. So I want to thank you very much for your time. We're going to get out early today, so I should get a tip for that, right? So, thank you for your time. If you have any questions, if there's anybody here that's never accepted Christ as your Savior, get a hold of Marvin, me, Mike, you know, love to do that with you today. It's really easy. It'll change your life for the better. It doesn't mean you're going to stop having problems, unfortunately. If I had designed a program, yes, let's do that. It's not the way it's set up. But God will see you through all your trials and tribulations. My wife and my daughter both died last year. It doesn't mean nothing bad is ever going to happen to you again. It's bad for me and hurt a little bit, but many people are getting saved because of that, you know. And I said at their funeral, if there's only one person to get saved from my pain and suffering, that's a bargain. Somebody would say, I didn't have to spend eternity in hell, and all you had to do is suffer for a few years? Wow! Bargain of the decade, right? So, you know, keep looking to Jesus, love him, stay close with him. He'll never leave or forsake you, and he's just way good. Thank you.